was born, and shepherds visit, and angels sing, and parents are in awe, and they pick up and they move because someone is after them, and then they finally resettle in the place that they started. And Jesus grows up like any child grows up, and I'm really hoping for some advice from Joe and Mary someday on how to raise a little boy that might be full of energy. And then eventually he comes to the point where Jesus has his bar mitzvah, where he is seen as an adult in the community, and he begins to follow in his father's footsteps. He begins to learn how to be a carpenter. And he attends synagogue like every male is supposed to, and Jesus begins to live his life. But the only problem is the people that visited bringing him gifts did not bring hammer and nails and planks of wood. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. But Jesus is destined for something that is so much greater than what his life has started out like. And so when John, his relative, goes out and begins to preach at the Jordan River for repentance, for people turning their hearts and their minds and their lives back to focus on God, Jesus feels that call as well. And he comes to John to be baptized, and it's this confusing, cryptic code that he seems to use. But John says, no, this is the wrong way around. You're supposed to baptize me. I'm not worthy of this. And Jesus says, this is the right way to do it. But it's not about that Jesus is baptized. What happens is when he comes out of the water. Because he doesn't go for the same reason everybody else goes, other than it's time for him to turn from being a carpenter to focusing now on what God's call is. And so Jesus goes into the water and is baptized and comes out, and in this moment of revelation, the heavens are opened and a spirit flutters down and a voice speaks, "This is my son, my beloved. In him I am well pleased." Jesus hasn't done anything. I mean, he's grown up and hopefully obeyed his parents, and he's made a few different pieces of furniture and items for animals to drink and eat out of, but he hasn't done anything yet. And God's word is, "This is my son, my beloved, in him I'm well pleased." And in that, hearing that, Jesus is about to go off into the wilderness for 40 days. And then he's about to go spend time with people who are broken and hurting, people who are full of disease and those who are without hope. And he's going to fight against people who think they've got it all together, and he's going to go toe-to-toe with people who will eventually kill him. But it all starts with a statement. "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased." And I think in that moment, Jesus is receiving everything he's going to need for everything that's ahead of him. That he is reminded that he belongs to God, and that his purposes are God's, and that God is pleased to be in him with whatever the journey is about to hold for him. Welcome to the baptism of our Lord, and welcome to your baptism, because I think they're the same. We talk about this water, and the prayers that we have of it are for the forgiveness of sin, and for life eternal, and for God's presence to be with us, that we are adopted and brought in to God's loving arms, and he calls us his children. And in you, God is well pleased. And that's all wonderful and good, and that is something that we wish we could hold on to all of the time, and that reminder all of the time, but water tends to slip through our fingers, doesn't it? We tend to forget those promises. And in those moments that we really feel close to God and we really want to hang on to, and life happens. But God doesn't leave us. And in fact, God has called us to a new way of life. That those who are washed in the waters of baptism are filled with the new life of God. That all of our old things, our old ways of being that are self-centered and focused on what's good just for us, are laid down in the baptismal waters. and they are drowned. And then we are raised up to be new, to have hope, to have life, to have forgiveness of sins, but also to get started on our own ministry. I think we have a narrow view of what ministry is, that we tend to think it happens within these walls, and that this is where God exists and where God's love can most easily be shown. Or we think that ministry only happens by somebody who went to school for it. But God is not confined to a building. And God's work is not confined to one person in a church because they're wearing a black shirt with a white tab. God calls all of us to a new ministry in our baptisms. And that ministry looks different. Our council met yesterday. And as we were talking about living out our faith and what it looks like to have a faith practice, like prayer or going to worship or reading our Bible, all those things sound very good and wonderful as Christians. But God calls us to something bigger as well. That in all things that we do, we acknowledge God's presence. As you are driving to work, you are doing God's ministry. As you are preparing for what lays ahead of you in a day and asking God to maybe help you through it, that becomes your ministry. Whether you are shoveling the back walk at church or you are handing out firewood, if you're doing things here, it is ministry. But as you are shoveling your own driveway or eventually mowing your own lawn, that is ministry as well. That God has called you in your baptism to care for the world that God made. So if you are recycling, you are doing God's ministry. God calls us to care for one another, to share the same compassion that Christ has for us with others. So if you are listening to a coworker gripe, and you are staying with them through that, and you are encouraging them through that, you are doing God's ministry. And if you are searching for ways to feel connected with God, and you are praying, and you are listening to Christian music, and you are working through the Bible, even the sleepy parts, you are doing God's ministry. When you were baptized, you were called God's beloved. And before you could do anything, God is pleased with you, with who you are, with what you bring, with your own frustrations and your own exhaustion, bring it to God. And that is the ministry God is calling you to. And the beautiful thing is, as we are brought together into this community, because baptism isn't just about one person, it is about the whole community being welcomed into God's embrace. When you are brought into community, your ministry becomes our ministry. So even if staying the night at the church with some homeless families is not your thing, it is our thing. Or making meals for a family that's hurting, if it's not really your thing, it's still our thing. And firewood, handing it out at 30 below or 40 below, even if it's not your thing and you like keeping the tips of your fingers, it is still our thing. The things that you do, that God has called you to do, is the ministry of the church. We are better and stronger for you. So I invite you first to remember who you are, who you belong to, who has called you his beloved. And find strength in that, in who you are, not just what you do, but who you are. And then let who you are be God's ministry to the rest of the world. Because God calls you to something amazing. If you are able, I invite you to stand. We will join together in our song of the day, All the People Said Amen.
Of mercy, Santo.